A trial first, said Angai. Lord Beric always gives them a trial, you know that. He smiled. Then he hangs them. Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast. Founded in 2010 as Two Chimps and a Chump, we thought it best to rename and rebrand ourselves freshly just in time for the game to keep the same in the second edition. Tune in each week for your dose of strategy, discussion, jokes, and good old geek culture. A huge thank you goes out to GRRM for his amazing novels, FFG for this fantastic game, CardGameDB for getting us a start, and you, our loyal listeners, for sticking through thick and thin. Check us out on our website, Facebook, or Twitter, or email us at contact@whitebookpodcast.com and rate us on iTunes. This CC licensed music is Town Function by Spinners. Nice little quote about everyone's favorite lovable knight, Beric Dondarrion.
Did you choose that because he's in this pack?
I 100% did that. I try to, you know, kind of connect things.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, gosh, I bet the listeners are probably confused and a little mortified at a new voice here on the podcast. I mean, obviously, I'm Will, also known as Kenan, and I'm here every week, but who in the world is this new voice?
I'm Kristen.
Kristen, my wife, you know, not everybody in the Facebook group is going to know that, and I think we have listeners that aren't in the Facebook group. Okay, so yeah, Kristen, my wife, is joining me for the first time on the show in quite a while. I bet there's a lot of folks who have not heard you on the show before, so...
I mean, I made an appearance with, like, a snippet of reading a quote or a couple of things, but as far as being fully engaged in an episode, it's been several years.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think maybe there was an interview with Nate and Greg that you were also on, I think. Might have been the last time you were on.
Oh, I think you're right.
And I'm not even sure if that was second edition or not. I can't
remember. Oh, well, there was also the episode where we were announcing our regional.
Oh, you're right. Then that was just a short little thing.
Right. I don't know if that really counts.
Yeah. Whew. Interesting. Well, you get to really jump right into things this week for a review episode.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes, listeners. Enjoy.
Yeah. Is the pressure really weighing on you?
Nah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, we'll see if you manage to offend less people with your reviews than, say, Aaron normally does, but who knows? It's a big legacy to live up to.
I may be underwhelming to people.
Okay, well, tell you what, let's go ahead and get rolling with the review. This is the Brotherhood Without Banners chapter pack, and I'm going to give a quick recap of how we set these up, both so Kristen knows, and for any listeners that happen to be jumping in right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to alternate reading the cards for each house. We're going to read both cards together and lump them together, kind of chit-chat about them for a little bit, and rate how each house does on an A through F scale, similar to the American grading system.
and kind of see where it goes from there. And then we'll do the neutrals totally one at a time.
Will, I'm going to strike a deal with you.
What's that?
You get to read both Lannister cards, and I get to read both Greyjoy cards.
Perfect, because we normally have the same person read both cards for each house.
Oh, well,
just,
all right.
Just read them back to back, and then we'll talk about them.
Deal. That cool. was easy.
Well, I know you like Stark a little bit, at least. Do you want to start off with the Stark cards?
Sure, why not?
Go for it.
Okay, so the first card is Sansa's Maid. She is a 2-cost, has a power icon. She is 2 strength, and she has the companion keyword, as well as bestow with 3. So bestow, from what I'm noticing, is becoming the new trend with Game of Thrones. And so when this card enters play, move up to 3 gold from your gold pool to this card. Each lady character you control gets +1 strength for each gold Sansa's Maid has.
And then feel free to go ahead with Northern Keep. And then we'll talk about them both.
Okay, so Northern Keep is 2-cost. It is loyal to the Stark family. It's a limited location with keywords the North. Marshalling action. Kneel Northern Keep to gain 1 gold. 2 gold instead if there are more winter plot cards, than summer plot cards revealed. So, yeah, those are the cards.
There you go. What do you think? Anything jump out at you about these? I forgot to say that whoever reads them gets put on the spot first.
Jeez. I wasn't ready for this one. No, I was fully ready, sir. I gotta admit, I haven't played Stark a ton. Because if anyone who knows me knows that I'm a hashtag Greyjoy for life person. but it seems okay. I'll just leave it with it seems okay. As far as Sansa's Maid goes, nothing really is striking me as, oh my gosh, I would have to have this in my deck.
Seems reasonable. Any thoughts on the keep?
The keep. Let me go back to that one. That one seems a little more useful to me. Just because more gold, the better you have to spend on characters or events or anything. So that one I would rather have in a deck than Sansa's Maid. Just because, yeah. I have.
I mean, in the broad strokes, then I totally agree with you. I would much rather have Northern Keep between the two. More gold is always a good thing in Game of Thrones and Second Edition in particular. The Northern Keep is what a lot of us have been expecting for Stark. It follows kind of the same format as the other houses have gotten. Only the Stark one works off of winter plots, which leaves me kind of torn about it, though, because on the one hand, the winter plots in general are lower gold, so if you can get 2 gold out of the keep, then you're getting, like, proportionately a better benefit. Like, if you are turning a 3 gold plot into a 5, like, that's huge, versus turning, like, a 9 gold into an 11 like you would with a summer. But summer plots see a lot more play. They provide a lot of gold. Turns out people like it. So I think it's still going to be hard for there to be more winter plots than summer. It doesn't get you 2 gold if you're just even, if you have a winter and they have summer. So
I don't know. I guess in my play, I haven't seen just an absurd amount of summer plots. I see a few pop up here and there, but for them to be every single turn or even multiple, I don't know. I think it could be okay.
I think it could be okay. Yes, I just, I don't think it's going to be as awesome as people want it to be. So I don't know.
Maybe.
And Sansa's maid, she's just pretty meh.
I mean, blah.
Yeah. Another companion trait. I mean, she's a cheap bestow card, which I think I like better than some of the higher cost stuff. But I don't know. Do your ladies really need more strength? She's not loyal, so it looks like she fits into the Tyrell Stark deck that runs lots of ladies and knights and, you know, Sansa's Rose and stuff. But in that kind of deck, you really want to be winning challenges with the knights to do things like play Lady Sansa's Rose. So a strength boost to them would be awesome. The ladies, I mean, it's fine, but it's not what I'm looking for. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, she's just kind of okay. So, yeah. I don't know. Not as exciting. But okay. I would say the Northern Keep is a good one. I would play that.
Yeah. So what kind of letter rating? If you were grading House Stark in this pack, what would you give them?
Oh, Stark as a whole?
Yes. Together as a whole.
I guess go with middle of the road and give a C+, just because Sansa's Maid is so blah, but Northern Keep is good enough to me that I would rate that higher. So balance between the two.
Yeah, I think you're right in about the right spot. The Maid is pretty far down there, but the Keep is going to see play. Whether I think it's as good as other people do or not, I know it's going to see some play, so...
Yeah.
C+ overall seems reasonable. Okay. I guess that sends me over to Tyrell.
I think so.
Cool. Well, the first one is Highgarden Minstrel. She's a non-unique, non-loyal character. 2 cost, intrigue and power icons. 1 strength, the all-important Minstrel trait, and reaction... After you play a song event, gain 1 gold. Limit 3 times per round. And then Horn Hill. This is a 1 cost, non-loyal location, and it is unique. Has the reach trait, and it has a bestow of 3. And then challenges action, kneel Horn Hill to give each participating Tyrell character you control plus X strength until the end of the challenge. X is the number of gold Horn Hill has.
Yeah, if I had a Tyrell deck, I would be pretty stoked about Horn Hill.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was complaining not too long ago that Tyrell hadn't seen much stuff for their like strength boosting theme, and now it seems like we've seen a bunch of it kind of spoiled or dropped on us. And I think Horn Hill's real good.
Yeah, I mean, and pretty much what you said, and it's so interesting and cool that you have it, say, each participating character, so I don't know, unless it's during the final round where you need to get that last challenge in, then sure, like, kneel 3 characters, and if they're 2, 3, and 4 costs, then that means they're going to be 5, 6, and 7 costs. Or, sorry, not costs, geez. Strength.
Strength.
I keep doing that. I really don't know why. Anyway, strength, which is pretty cool to me.
Yeah, it's a huge potential boost. I mean, in an example like that, where you spent the full 3 gold, you're, you know, if you can throw 3 characters into it, you're now adding 9 strength total to your challenge. I mean... It's a lot. It could be a great way to offset the minus strength you get to your first challenge if you're using Lords of the Crossing agenda, or maybe some crazy person's trying to play that Frey event where you have to win by 20. It seems cool. And not as like feel bad as the Targaryen equivalent, Astapor. So... I think this will see some play.
Yeah. And then for Highgarden Minstrel, I don't know. I don't see it getting as much play just because there aren't a ton of song events out there. And I don't, I have never come across someone who has used a song event in a game that I've played. I don't know if others have, but yeah, so I don't know how much play this will get.
I mean, I don't think there's any decks that are going, like, all in on songs right now, except for maybe the Crazy Viper combo deck. It's playing quite a few songs to kind of filter through its deck. And I think it definitely wants this card to generate extra gold, which is pretty cool. But I don't know. I'm excited about it. I like interesting different ways to gain income. I mean, and it's a reasonable chud body in second edition. Like, I'm not excited about the 2-for-1 strength, but it has a couple icons. It can do something.
Yeah, for the cost and the icons, yeah, it's an easy character to put into play whenever you just need other bodies out there and something that you don't care as much about if you just want to kill something during a challenge. So in that sense, yeah, I would say it's an easy, okay, well, I'll just throw this in there because it's a low coster. But maybe it's something that FFG is working on doing more with song events. I don't know.
I almost 100% bet they are. I bet you they are waiting to drop a few more on us. Yeah, I bet there's probably some coming in the Tyrell box that comes out next in October. So
probably if they're doing something like that.
Yeah,
with the spring,
and this makes me want to build a deck with just all of the songs and see how it does. I like that she may not be super strong on her own, but I like that she makes me want to try out a totally different deck than I've done before.
Let me play you the song of my people, Olenna's Sass.
Exactly. Exactly. So, overall, if I was rating Tyrell out of this pack, I'm feeling pretty good about them. I'm feeling maybe like a B-, with the chance that it's going to go higher when we get more songs.
Yeah, I would say a B-. The High Garden Minstrel to me would be an easier character to talk me into having into a deck than like in the start cards with Sansa's Maid. This one has the potential to do a little bit more than the other, but maybe that's just me and I haven't played enough Stark to figure that out. And not that I played a ton of Tyrell either, but I played a little more Tyrell than I have Stark. But you could convince me to put this in a deck before you could convince me to put Sansa's Maid in a deck. So, yeah, I think I'm with you on B-. Just ever so slightly higher up.
That's a good comparison to make, I think.
Is that really?
Well, you know, we're kind of rating how the house is doing the pack. So, yeah. Would I play this over Lady Sansa's Maid? Seems like a good rule of thumb.
Oh, poor Stark.
Yeah.
It's so bad because I relate more to Stark than any other house. But I'm Greyjoy, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about Greyjoy?
Oh, no. Like, as far as the books go, I relate more to Stark. But as far as play, I relate more to Greyjoys.
Gotcha. Okay, well, what about Night's Watch? How do you feel about them?
Jon Snow.
Perfect. In that case, you get to read Night's Watch.
Sorry, listeners. Okay, so we have Donal Noy. He is a 4-cost character, 2 icons, military and intrigue. We've got him as 4 strength as well. He is a unique character with the steward trait. He also has bestow 3, no attachments except weapon. Action, discard 1 gold from Donal Noy to put a weapon attachment into play from your hand. And then, ironically enough, we have a weapon attachment to go along with him. And it is a 2-cost Night's Watch character only. Attached character gets +1 strength. Challenges action. Kneel Ranger's bow to choose a defending Night's Watch character until the end of the challenge. That character gets +2 strength. So, with this one, it seems pretty decent that you're automatically getting 1 strength, and then you can give strength to another character. So maybe this character that you have this attached to is your defending character. You have the potential to give him 3 strength, or maybe you just choose the one and give another character 2 strength, whichever. If I'm understanding that right.
Yeah. I mean, throwing that strength boost around in different places is one of the benefits that I see here.
Plus keeping
out of the bow.
Strength booster on the attached character already as well.
Yeah. I don't know how bad I desperately wanted more strength. Like boost sort of effects like this in Night's Watch, but it's very interesting. Maybe help some kind of combat Balin out of Greyjoy a little bit by boosting their guys up.
You know, maybe I don't like this card already.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Night's Watch just already has so many other attachments and things like there. They're already wanting to play Kraven. They're honestly probably playing Milk of the Poppy. They're maybe playing Dragonglass Daggers and or Longclaw. Maybe Practice Blades.
Or Widow's Wail.
Maybe, yeah, if you're combining it with Lannister. I haven't really seen much of that, yeah. But very possibly. I would probably play that over the Ranger's Bow, which just leaves me kind of thinking, I don't know what deck I find the room for it in. I don't know. Kind of the same thing with Donal Noy. Like, he wants a lot of attachments, but, like, is his ability that good? Like, do I want to pay 5, 6, or 7 for him to enable kind of ambush for my weapons?
Yeah, but for a middle-of-the-road character cost and strength, I find that to be fairly decent, and to have 2 icons and one of those being military, I find the military very important for that. So in that sense, yes, for a middle of the road cost. Yeah.
And intrigue's always nice for Night's Watch. They always have, feel like they could have a little more of an issue with that than some of the other houses. So I don't know, you know, he may see a copy here and there in some decks, but I'm not excited about it myself.
I haven't played Night's Watch yet, so I wouldn't really know. I've been wanting to try out Night's Watch, potentially either with Greyjoy or by itself or something. I haven't quite gotten there yet.
All right. And any astute listeners may notice a little hiccup here and there in the audio. We're already hitting our traditional recording problems. So that's awesome and fun. Hooray. Aside from that, we've got Night's Watch here. What kind of rating would you give Night's Watch out of this?
I honestly don't know. I feel like you're gonna have the better rating than I ever could.
In this case, you know, these are a couple. I guess it kind of pushes an existing theme for Night's Watch in a little bit of a different direction, but it doesn't excite me the same way the Minstrel does. I guess I don't see quite the opening there.
Yeah, you've been on quite the Tyrell and Lannister kick lately.
Oh, yes. Yeah, been all over that Tyrell.
Which is funny to me, because you played hardly any Tyrell, or, well, yeah, you just didn't play a ton of that in First Ed.
Probably not.
Well, yeah,
They
I
get
mean,
their
they
own
didn't.
faction back then.
Well, right, but just. Was Baratheon really even like that, though? I feel like they weren't,
No.
so.
Well, they had a few Tyrell guards, I guess. And Lannister had a few, but.
Yeah, but just the style of them just seems different than what you used to play.
Oh, yes. I would definitely agree there. Definitely a little more power rushy sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So as far as a rating for Night's Watch goes, I think I'm probably, I maybe even below that. I think I'm gonna go as far down as a D. Some other folks might give me grief for that, but that's where I'm going.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't really have much to go off of to give it an actual rating, so probably no help on that one.
Ah, well, no problem. Let's see, does that make it me reading
Yes.
Baratheon? Okay, first up we have Patchface. He is a unique, non-loyal Baratheon character. 2 cost, 2 strength, a power icon, the Fool trait, and while another Fool character has a keyword, Patchface gains that keyword. And then also, while another Fool character has a challenge icon, Patchface gains that challenge icon. And then we have King's Blood. This one is a non-unique, non-loyal attachment. It's got 0 cost, the condition trait, bastard or king character you control only. It has bestow 3, and as a plot action, kneel the attached character and sacrifice King's Blood to discard X power from each opponent's faction card. X is the number of gold King's Blood has.
So what I'm gathering from this is FFG hasn't really done a ton with melee, but they seem to be adding more cards to make it easier for a melee. So, like with this one, this sounds fun to have in a melee deck.
Yeah, I think King's Blood could be very interesting in melee. Rush is always such a big thing there. If you're knocking all of your opponents down by 3 power,
right?
Ooh.
And wow, you're listening to me talk about melee. Lols.
I know. Madness. So yeah, I don't know. I guess the question is, in melee, does that slow everyone else down to Baratheon's pace fast enough to kind of even things out? I'm not sure. But in Joust, it's going to be so incredibly annoying.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Especially if you're so close to getting to 15 power, and then all of a sudden that pops up.
Yeah, yeah. And we already saw the Cancer Lancer deck that won Gen Con was kind of built around existing Baratheon cards that knocked power off of people's characters. So it's going to really, really keep slowing things down. I don't know if I'm super excited about that, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's got to sit on their card until the next plot.
Right. So phase. You could squeak out a win within that round if you play it right.
Yeah, or find a way to discard it.
Or if you have, like, your Lannister deck, for instance, I forget what the character is, but with the bestow of canceling actions from happening. So there's that option, too.
Yeah. You know, I'm noticing something really important about our discussion here. You know what that is?
What?
We haven't mentioned Patchface since I read him. And you know what I think is important about that?
He doesn't matter.
Yeah, he is so bad. so bad.
Maybe they're working on more stuff with the Fool trait. Like, maybe they're going to bring in more with the Tyrell box, because doesn't Tyrell have something similar to that?
I mean,
Or maybe they could.
they've got a fool right now, I suppose. So there's that.
Yeah.
And I think they've got another one. I can't think of anybody's names at the moment except for Butterbumps, but I think they've got another fool mentioned in the books, so maybe they'll get a second one, but I don't know. Like the other Baratheon fool that's eluding my mind at the moment already has a power icon, so that means you have to be playing Patchface with Tyrell to even get a different icon or be playing it with the Motley attachment to turn one of your people into a fool.
Yeah, I was just about
Yeah.
to say, are there cards to where you can give a trait to a character and turn them into fools, and then you could copy their stuff?
There is, but here's the drawback on Motley, because you probably haven't seen that card in a while. Nobody plays it right now.
Yeah.
So it can go on opponent's character only. So you're kind of limited to what they've got. And if it also has the reaction that after the attached character is declared as an attacker or defender, discard one card at random from its controller's hand, which is pretty nice, but just like I can't copy any of my own characters. Like I have to rely on whatever my opponent has available, and then they can potentially they want to discard Motley anyway because it's bad for them, so on multiple levels. So maybe they find a way to discard it, maybe they just kill the character. I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess in that sense, kind of like what I was talking about with why am I blanking on that card now? For the minstrel, I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
it has one more strength, so as far as stupid characters that you just really don't care about, whereas you want to get more characters on the board. It's two strength, two cost. It's easy to kill. I mean, what his tech says, I right now could care completely less about. But as far as just having something in my deck to have something cheap and I don't care to kill, sure, in that sense. But I think for that sense only is what you're going to make me care about him for.
Yeah, I think my best thought is, like you've said with some of the others, that maybe FFG is setting us up for something in the future, but right now I'm not playing it.
Yeah, unless I just had to have something else in my deck, then I wouldn't see a need for him. But I think with King's Blood, that counteracts that quite a bit. So as far as a rating goes, I'd probably give this one a B minus.
I don't think I'm willing to go quite that high on King's Blood.
I would, just because it has multiple purpose, whether you're playing melee or joust or both that day, and you have it in two
Oh.
decks.
Hey, I'm not trying to talk you out of it. By all means, stand by it. I think there's going to be some folks that agree with you. I'm just kind of hemming and hawing a little bit on my decision. And I don't think I'm quite as high on King's Blood, and Patch Face is just like a straight up F.
Yeah. No, I agree
So I
there.
think, yeah. So I think that pulls Baratheon down to maybe like a D plus for me.
Oh, that's really low.
Like, Patch Face really pulls him down. I mean, when I think King's Blood is only maybe like a C plus card.
Maybe,
So.
but I don't know. I think it's higher than that. I definitely think it's higher than a D plus.
Okay, well, that's fair. I do have a bad history of underrating you,
That's
so.
what I'm here for, to balance you out.
Exactly.
Well, the next house is
Okay.
Lannister, and we agreed that you'll read Lannister and I read Greyjoy, so looks like you're reading the next house as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, so first up we have Jenna Frey. She is a unique, non-loyal Lannister character. 5 gold, intrigue, and power icons with 4 strength. She has the House Frey and Lady traits. And then the reaction after you win a challenge in which Jenna Frey is attacking. If it was the third challenge you initiated this phase, the losing opponent discards 1 card at random from his or her hand. 2 cards instead if you control another attacking House Frey character. And then the Gold Road. This is Lannister's new income location. Non-unique, but it is loyal. 2 cost. Westeros trait. Limited. Has the challenges action. Kneel the Gold Road to gain 1 gold. And then just has a static +1 gold bonus. I dig both of these for Lannister quite a bit. Jenna is, as other folks have noted, kind of like a... I mean, some folks have been saying she's a less good core Cersei even, but Cersei doesn't make people discard extra cards on a power challenge, which Jenna could. However, I should say that. And I like that. Okay, Jenna, that's what I'll go with. You know, it has to be your third challenge, but you can be flexible with what order you do stuff in. I don't think Lannister's going to have any problem triggering her and, you know, giving the option to strip another card out of the opponent's hand on a challenge that is not intrigue seems pretty solid.
Yeah. Definitely. I'd rate her pretty well. She's not too expensive, but just a little bit more than middle of the road. Yeah.
Yeah, just expensive enough to make sure she doesn't get sent back to your hand with First Snow of Winter, which I like. And the Gold Road. This is maybe my favorite of the income locations we've seen, the new ones. It's really good. Really good.
Yeah, it is good. And we'll go over the Greyjoy one here in a second, and I'll comment how I can correlate one of those with this one.
The Gold Road just... It's one of the very few of these locations that I can make sure is just active all the time. Of course, I won't get that gold bonus until the next turn, but like I don't have to do anything. Whatever my opponent does is not going to mess with this. I mean, you know, unless they specifically blank it or destroy it, but that's the case with anything. So,
yeah, that's the cool thing with this one is that, I mean, I guess unfortunately it is loyal, but the cool thing is that when you first play it, you don't get that initial gold, but in the challenges actions, you definitely have that chance to get the gold and do all kinds of fun stuff with either events or attachment, or not necessarily attachments, but
ambush,
just other ambush or cancels or whatever. Yeah. So I do like that a lot.
I know you've seen a lot of the Lannister ambush the last few times you've played. They like, even though you only get that gold in the challenges phase, they have a lot of things they can do with that still.
Right, because isn't Widow's Wail ambush has the potential to be ambushed? Yeah, so there's that, and it's, you know, 2 gold, but you also potentially get 2 gold out of it as long as you remember to trickle it. I can't talk. It's an awkward word. Trigger it if you remember.
Yeah. And I mean, in so many events, you know, getting the extra money for a put to the sword or tears of lists or treachery to cancel something, or better yet, getting an extra gold so you can use it to pay for the ability on Greg's champ card, Flea Bottom. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one's really good. It's really good. It does everything Lannister wants. And I was just complaining last week about how Tyrell seems to be getting all the money. And I'm like, what gives? You know, FFG swore that Lannister was still going to keep their like title as the richest house. Well, the Gold Road is a is a step in that direction. So thank you, FFG. Thank you.
So as far as this house in general goes, I would give an A.
I think you're spot on. I think this is worth an A. Both of these really do things Lannister wants.
Yeah, both seem very solid.
Well, I guess
hashtag that, Greyjoy for life.
Yeah, this sends us to your favorite.
All right, so the first card that we have is Stony Shore Raider. It is a 2-cost character. It has a military icon with 2 strength, Ironborn, and Raider traits. It also has Bestow 3. Action, discard 1 gold from Stony Shore Raider to choose and kneel a location with printed cost 3 or lower. So this is the card that I was talking about with that previous one we were just discussing, the Gold Road of... Okay, sure, you might get that initial gold during your marshalling, but I can stop you from getting that additional gold potentially during other parts of the round. So that's fun to me to have something to stop that. Or kneeling other locations that are just bonkers that will prevent me from doing stuff or boosting my opponent's stuff. So I think this one has a lot of fun potential with it. Even if Greyjoy is not getting a lot of the cancels that they had in the old edition, this is a step in the right direction there.
Yeah. Did you actually read the second card as well?
Oh, sorry. No, I got distracted because I was excited and I wanted to.
I'll come back to the Raider and discuss some other stuff as well once you read the other card. So I'll let you talk about that too.
I was jumping the gun. I was excited. All right, so the second card is Pay the Iron Price. It is 2-cost event. It is loyal. During the challenges action, you can choose an attachment in an opponent's discard pile and put it into play under your control, which is awesome. Then there's also a reaction keyword that says, after you win an unopposed challenge, pay 1 gold to return Pay the Iron Price from your discard pile to your hand. So, also awesome. I'm stoked about Greyjoy cards. Like,
yeah.
They both seem really cool.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace. You know, Greyjoy's just gotten a ton of saves and kind of unopposed tech since the game started, it seems. It's nice to see them branch out and get some stuff that feels more control-oriented.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it gives them a lot more of a dimension here.
Yeah.
I think you're right about Stony Shore Raider. She's just got a ton of targets. You know, like you said, she could, even in this pack, she could be hitting the Gold Road, or maybe she's taking care of Horn Hill because its printed cost is only 1. Same thing with the Targaryen bestow location, Astapor, or a Plaza of Pride or Punishment, or, you know, is Night's Watch really messing with you with Castle Black or Haunted Forest? You can take them out. This is one of the bestow cards that I feel a lot more interested in investing in.
Yeah, definitely. And she's such a low cost and sure, low strength, but for such a low cost character, she has a lot of potential to do cool things. So she would absolutely be a huge consideration into a deck. And then also, even if I don't necessarily get a chance to use her action per se, and I had to kill her, I mean, I'd be a little bummed that I'd have to kill her, but I'd also be fine with it, too. She's an excellent low-coster to have in a deck.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I can't believe we haven't talked about at all with her yet?
What's that?
Have you noticed that she appears to be the artist's interpretation of a female crossplane Rufio?
Oh my gosh, she is! Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep, You're welcome.
I love it.
Rufio.
Stony Shore.
Love it. Love it.
You're welcome.
You know what that makes me want to do? Listeners, you're going to get a little bit of a time travel moment right now.
Oh,
makes me now want to go comment Rufio on the giant Facebook thread that will never end. Who knows? It may have ended by the time you listen to this episode. But if you read that thread and wondered why I randomly said, Rufio! Now you know. And then I guess we should talk a little bit about the event. I mean, I think the flavor is super awesome. Like, paying the iron price is literally going and stealing someone else's stuff, which is pretty cool.
Sorry, I'm beating you to the Rufio. Oh, damn it. Oh, sorry.
Oh, darn it. Yep. I beat it. I beat you.
Motherforker.
Exactly. But, I mean, it seems cool. This maybe sort of actually gives you a reason to play some of those just kind of extra pillage cards in Greyjoy or discard, you know. Or at least gives you something else to do while you're randomly pillaging a card here and there with Euron. Like, it's just going to kind of happen, even if you're not going all in on pillage. Or maybe you just discard your opponent's attachments with confiscation. Or maybe they killed one of your guys with Crown of Gold, and now you just laugh maniacally because, you know, you're just going to keep replaying Crown of Gold out of their discard pile every turn for the rest of forever.
Right, and well, in Greyjoy, a lot of decks want you to go first. Like, you as the first player, you want to go first, and this gives you the upper hand with, okay, well, any challenge actions? Yeah, I totally have a challenges action. And then you get the first reaction as well in certain circumstances. So it's neat and a different playing tactic to do. I really dig it.
Yeah, I think it's really going to cause folks to have to kind of be wary and consider their attachment play versus Greyjoy, mm-hmm. which is going to be a nice change of pace. It's not something you ever had to really think about before against them. So that's good. It kind of expands their horizon.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, you're the Greyjoy aficionado here. How are you feeling about Greyjoy out of this pack?
I would give this one an A as well. I've got nothing but positive things to say about both cards, and both of these I would totally put into a deck and see how they play out. I don't see a ton of negatives to them, especially with them being so low costing. I almost hate for events to be too cost because Greyjoy is... I guess here's my negative. Greyjoy doesn't have a ton of income, so to spend 2 gold on an event or an attachment makes me second guess things a little bit, but this one has so much to offer that this one would be on the upper choices in comparison to some of the other events out there, unless they were free. But overall, I'd give this one an A.
I like them. I don't know. Gosh. I guess maybe I'll kind of need to see it play out. I don't know if I quite go full on A. But I like these a lot. I think I'm willing to give Greyjoy a solid B out of this pack.
All right. I won't argue too much, but...
Okay.
I dig them both, but maybe I'm just biased because I'm a Greyjoy player.
You probably are. Okay, does that mean we're just alternating again now, and it goes back to me for Targaryen?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, we have the Freedmen. They are a non-loyal, non-unique Targaryen character. 2 cost, 1 strength, intrigue and power icons. They have the ally trait and the reaction. After you win a challenge by 5 or more strength as the attacking player, put Freedmen into play from your discard pile. And then we have the attachment, Warrior's Braid. This is also non-unique and non-loyal. 2 cost, the item trait, Targaryen character only. Attached character gains renown and gets +1 strength for each bell token on Warrior's Braid. And then reaction, after you win a military challenge in which an attached character is attacking, place a bell token on Warrior's Braid. It is possessive. So, there we go. Overall, I like both of these pretty well. A couple relatively cheapish cards for Targaryen. Freedmen's going to be pretty great as a card to just toss and discard to Plaza of Pride to stand somebody up, because you don't care if you discarded them from your hand. Just win a challenge sometime and put them back into play. Yeah.
I like that you can put it back straight into play instead of into your hand. That does make that nice.
Yeah, that makes that a lot better. It's sort of like getting 2 gold, and now you've got claim soak in case your opponent wins a military. All sorts of good stuff.
Yeah.
That's or not if too you're bad. Playing.
It's not totally won me over, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, and there's other stuff. Like, I don't really care about playing March to the Wall if I've got a Freedman in play. I'll just discard my character and make you discard something, and then I'll just get the Freedmen back.
Right.
Things like that. And it turns out March to the Wall is a real good plot. People should play it more than they do, even.
Don't encourage people.
I'm encouraging you to play it.
I don't know. I think
it fits well for your kind of decks.
I don't know. I trusted you on the plots for that, for the last deck that I built for Gen Con, and I don't know if I trust you as much anymore.
Well, I don't know why you wouldn't trust me.
Because your melee will. That's why.
Also true.
But as far as Warrior's Braid, back to the actual cards we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty decent.
I mean, you mentioned melee about some other cards earlier, and giving characters renown, I think, is going to be really good in melee. Turns out you want power real bad.
Right. And if someone's trying to take it away from you with the, well, no, that's off of the faction card, not the character. But I mean, yeah, I guess it still applies. If they're taking power off your faction card and you have renown from this attachment, then yeah, I guess that's a way to, you know, defeat that.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to steal stuff off your character. Yeah, granted, that might just kill your character, but yeah, that happens.
Depending on how much renown you have on it. And then for this one, you know, it just makes me want to go to Hobby Lobby or somewhere and just buy little bell charms.
Yeah, and actually put them in your hair every time you win a military challenge.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Oh, shucks. Oh, well. Yeah. So I guess my other main observation here, I mentioned this online before, but it bears repeating to our podcast listeners. Warrior's Braid, like, that's totally just Elsa, right? Like, that's not even Dany, like, doing an Elsa cosplay. That's just Elsa.
Pretty much. She's real pale skin in this picture. Almost looks dead because of her ashen skin color and
yeah.
her white blonde hair with the braids all to one side. And then maybe it's just my computer screen. Her outfit looks like a dark navy blue. So, I mean, yeah, this is pretty much Elsa.
Yeah, it's just right there. All sorts of movie-related art.
Let it go.
Weird.
Let it go. I am one with the fire and ice.
You know, the rhyme doesn't work, but you fit it to the tune really well.
It was a stretch.
Oh, man. You know what? Banter Behind the Throne has got nothing on us. Now I'm going to have Kristen record us some theme music.
I don't know if that's a good call.
It's going to be amazing. Going to be amazing. Okay, so Targaryen out of this pack then. I mean, they're kind of like niche cards still. They're not anything that just kind of jumps out and blows me away. They're not swinging games really by themselves. They're interesting, though, so I don't know, probably just like a C for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna go with. They don't completely wow me, but they also don't bore me either, so middle of the road, C plus, yeah, something like that.
Seep. Is that gonna be what we call it now? Like,
no, I said C plus. Did I cut out?
At first you just said seep and then you changed it to C plus after that. So I was just, you know, thinking about like stuff like Cray or Bay. Like, we're just gonna kind of shorten it a little bit more.
No.
C plus no longer exists. Now it's seep.
Stop trying to make seep happen.
Fine. But we're going back to fetch.
No.
Okay. Fine. On to Martell, then. I think this one's you.
All right. So, first one we have is Dornish Spy. She is a 3-cost character, 2 icons with military and intrigue. She's also 3 strength. She has the spy trait. She is ambush 4. Reaction, after Dornish Spy enters play, choose a character. Until the end of the phase, that character loses a challenge icon of your choice. And then we have Locked Away. So this is a 3-cost attachment. It has the condition trait. It is terminal. And the reaction to it says, after the marshalling phase begins, return attached character to its owner's hands. Cannot be saved. So Dornish Spy. I think that's pretty awesome. As much as I love Gregor Clegane, I think this stands a mighty good chance against him by taking away his military icon.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a prime
right.
target.
Right, and if I'm giving you all inspiration whenever you play against me, just know you will never get cookies from me again.
Aww. That's quite a threat. I think everyone out there knows that Kristen makes the best cookies. So. We're going to have to watch out.
Uh-huh. I'll withhold them from you. But no, I think she's pretty good in that sense of being able to make or break a certain character, or maybe you have a really decent, or maybe it's just even an okay character and it's their only one standing at the moment, but taking away that single icon or the biggest icon that they're known for, it's pretty decent. So I think she's good. And then again, middle of the road as far as 3-cost, 3-strength and 2 icons. I think she's, I wouldn't say absolutely fantastic, but I think she would be a real good contender to be in a deck.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point about her just being 3-for-3 with 2 icons. Like, that's just really solid, not like scary big, but efficient stats.
Yep. An
like,
efficient reaction, too.
A lot of times I would just play a character like that just to round out and make sure I've got something, you know, at every cost curve just to speed or to smooth things out there.
Yeah.
Then you throw in that Martell's got Ari on to return the hand and put the spy into play because she doesn't say she has to be ambushed. Just enters play. So any way you can cheat her in like that or with Flea Bottom is still going to work.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to be pretty solid.
I think so too. And then we have Locked Away.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this one's just kind of okay to me. It seems fairly expensive for an attachment. I don't play enough Martell to know how expensive that is for their gold cost curve, but I don't remember them having a ton. Am I wrong?
You know, it's one we've seen some other stuff, like Marriage Pact in Stark, that were also kind of expensive control attachments that people kind of derided a bit, and then they turned out, you know, to really surprise people and be quite a bit better than expected in at least
so
one deck.
This might be similar to that.
It might be. It bugs me that it's so delayed.
Yeah.
And I'm spending a lot on it for a benefit I'm not going to get until the next turn. Which just worries me that something's going to happen to it. But I do have to admit, if my opponent doesn't have a way to do something to it, it's going to be a big swing, I think. Like, they need to have
right.
an answer.
Like, I could bounce Cersei back to your hand, or Jaime, or whoever.
So, yeah. I mean, Jaime, Cersei, you know, get around Greyjoy saves or something.
Yeah.
You know, their iron mines and stuff. Don't save from going back to hand. Plus, Locked Away says
cannot
be saved, but, you know. So, I don't know. I think overall Martell makes it out of this pack pretty well. I'm so torn. I'm not sure how to rate Locked Away. I just know whichever way I go, people will actually play it, and it's going to turn out to be the opposite of whatever I commit to here. So, I'm going to go B minus. Overall,
that's kind of where I'm going with it. For me, like I said, the Locked Away just almost seems too expensive, and like you said, with a delayed ish reaction, but it's not quite a stinker of a card. And wow, I just sounded like Greg there.
Oh, geez.
yeah, it's not quite such a stink bomb of a card, so. It's not pulling Martell down completely, but Dornish Spy definitely is a really good card to me. And yeah, so I think I would go along with the B minus, maybe even a B to it.
Okay. I can't blame you for wanting to skew a little bit higher on that one. Okay. Then we're on to the neutral cards. Let's see, you just read Martell, right? So I get the first neutral card?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite fitting since, you know, you read the introduction quote.
Good point. Perfect. Okay, so first up, Beric Dondarrion. This is a 7-cost, X-strength neutral character. He is unique, and he has military and power icons. He has the Knight and Lord and R'hllor traits. He has Renown. And then the X for his strength is equal to the number of Kiss tokens Beric Dondarrion has. He also has a forced reaction. After you marshal Beric Dondarrion place, 6 kiss tokens on him. Cannot be canceled. And then he has an interrupt. When Beric Dondarrion would be killed, discard a kiss token from him to save him.
That's pretty sweet. Good job, Jakob.
Conveniently, here's that last bit I'm going to throw out. The card design is by the 2014 European Melee champion, Jakob Holtmann.
He's awesome. I love him to death.
Yeah, so there we go. He made a fun-looking card here.
Go Team Sweden. And I mean, I'm an adopted Team Sweden, so...
I mean, yeah. It's a neat Nedley ability with the kiss tokens. As much as I adore more token types being added to the game.
It's fine. You can just go to Hobby Lobby or Michael's with me, and then we can get stuck with buying more decorations for our house as well as tokens for the game.
That doesn't sound like a good idea. Look at this. Two different kinds of tokens in one pack. I'm going to have to start commissioning some more art for new white book tokens. I think we're already one or two tokens behind. Now we just got two more added to us. It's starting to be a necessity.
Anyway, so back to
back to Beric himself. I mean, it looks cool. I kind of like a big, fat, renowned body. He's neutral, though, which means he's a little harder to play at a 7-cost spot, even.
Maybe he has the lore trait, so, you know, if you've got Noble Cause, then... It makes it
easier. A good point. Noble Cause will get him right there. And some of the other stuff that sees play. Of course, trading with the Pentoshi and things like that. But I don't know. I think the thing that just really worries me is him being blanked. It feels like there's a lot of Milk of the Poppy and a lot of Nightmares floating around right now. And if he gets hit with either one of those, not only can he not save himself and he doesn't get his renown, but his strength goes to zero because he loses the ability that says X's number is equal to the number of kiss tokens. And I'm going to be real sad, if I just spent 7 gold on what becomes a zero strength character for a challenge phase. Even, if it's just Nightmares that they played.
I think it all depends on what kind of deck you throw them into. If you throw them into a deck that has a lot of cancels for, like I mentioned already, with the Lannister deck of having that character that allows you to get rid of a piece of gold to cancel something, then I think you'd be okay. It just totally depends on what you pair him with.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There's going to be decks that have a few ways to protect their stuff and that just want to land just body after body after body that has renown so that the other person, has to be scared of everything they play because, they're dropping Randall, Beric, Knight of Flowers, Marjorie, whoever else. I'm sure I'm thinking of, I'm skipping over a bunch of people that could be theoretically in that deck. So.
Yeah.
So what would you rate Beric himself then?
I think after mentioning Milk with Poppy and Nightmares and different cards like that, I'd still keep him in the A category. Maybe between an A, A minus, something around that. Because I think he's just flat out awesome. But yeah, he does have a lot of potential to get blanked and be a total bummer of a character. But I don't know. I don't think it's that much to worry about.
Don't hate me, Jakob, but I think I'm just giving him a C. I think he'll see a little bit of play. What? Like,
I'm going to hate him for you, Jakob.
I think
don't mess with my team, sweet friends.
I mean, I think he'll see some play here and there, like Mance or like Jack and Hagar do, and things like that. But he's not going to be everywhere like other champ cards. So.
Well, I'm going to remind you of something. This is probably another reason why your friends like me better.
That's possible.
Hey, did we ever read the other neutral card?
We have not read more. We normally do them one at a time, so why don't you play the next one?
Okay, I gotcha. So for the next neutral card, it's a zero-cost event called Unbridled Generosity. Action, choose up to 3 cards. Move 1 gold from the treasury to each of those cards. I don't know. I mean, I guess I can see maybe where they're going with this, since they're doing a ton of bestow, that this would help encourage that for them to give another option, but it's not really wowing me.
Yeah, I've got to agree that it's not really wowing either. Like, for me to really be wowed by Unbridled Generosity, I want there to be, you know, like 4 or 5 more real good cheap options, like the Stony Shore Raider. Yes. And Astapor and Hornhill and stuff. Like, I don't want these expensive stuff like Donal Noy or the Florent guy from a couple packs ago. I mean, we've gone kind of back and forth on some of their playability, but like to really get a benefit out of this event where I have to spread that gold out, like I want several cheap ones in play. Ideally, I probably even want to play them all in the same turn, drop Unbridled Generosity to fill them all up and, you know, really be able to change things. But all those other cheap bestow cards that would really be worth it aren't really there.
Yeah. I think overall, because I don't really feel like we need to discuss this card anymore, I'm just going to give it an F.
I don't think I'll go quite that far down. I'm probably just going to give it a D right now. And it may go up more. I know Danny said he's going to experiment with bestow more in the next cycle. Try to push the boundaries. So we'll see if maybe that's what we need to get it there.
I don't know. We'll see. But for me, it's an F, because for a zero cost event, there's so many others that I'd rather play. And heck, I'd even play a 2 cost event over this thing. So,
like a put to the sword?
Exactly. I would put to the sword any day over this, because it's so much better, even if I have to pay 2 gold for it. And I'm pretty stingy on that. So this is just a complete no for me, especially right now.
Okay, well, now we're on to the agenda. A new agenda, finally. This one's been spoiled for a while, but we haven't actually had it in hand. This is the Brotherhood Without Banners. You cannot include loyal characters in your deck. And then, reaction. After the challenges phase begins, kneel your faction card to choose a neutral character you control. Until the end of the phase, that character gains, choose one. Insight, Intimidate, Renown, or Stealth.
See, that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's really flexible. I'm worried about giving up all my loyal characters, though. Like, there's a lot of good stuff. My Cersei's, my Tywin's,
yeah, but this,
you know, your Balans and Eurons.
Yeah, but this is one of those fun, like goofy Shaga decks that would be fun to play. Whether and just see how it
That's
goes.
true. It is much more Shaga-y. I mean, and there's some, neutral Meisters, and I think we'll probably be getting more in that realm. There's
And
Wildlings.
introducing Beric with it, so giving Beric more to do with either insight, intimidate, renown, or
Yeah.
stealth.
I wouldn't mind giving him any of those except for Renown, since he's already got it, but
Yeah, right. But stealth, I'd probably use the most, but intimidate would
Yeah,
be
I mean,
fun
I could
too.
see myself choosing one or the other. I could even see Insight in the right situation where I just need some more cards. Any of those. But you're right that I probably lean towards stealth more too.
Yeah, stealth a little bit more and then intimidate. Because he's already pretty high strength anyway.
Unless you've
So,
needed to save him a
yeah,
couple
no.
times.
Well, there is
Yeah.
that.
Then he'll just be a shadow of his former self.
Oh,
Yeah.
womp womp.
I think, I mean, obviously I'm worried about the loyal characters. That's a pretty big question, so to speak, for deck construction. But the other thing that kind of bugs me
Yeah.
is the way the timing is on this, because it's a reaction to the challenge phase starting. So I can't, like, surprise people. Exactly who I'm picking, exactly what I gave them before anybody does anything. And I don't know, that limits it a lot, I think, when you already know.
Yeah, but that's where I'd go back again with choosing stealth more than anything because stealth isn't always as much of a surprise as some of the others, but I don't know.
That's fair. It's probably the one you can still leverage the most, even if your opponent knows beforehand that you're gonna have it, because it takes one of their characters out of the equation,
Right.
basically. The other ones all depend on you winning the challenge and don't take anybody out. So if they really want to win it, they can defend for a boatload or something.
Yeah. This one, as far as competitive play goes, unless someone just builds a completely baller deck and changes my mind, I don't really see this being super competitive. Like I mentioned, I see this as kind of a really fun Shaga deck and playing in just a casual game and seeing how the heck you can just be silly with your friends with
Yeah,
it.
that might have to be what you do, because I just also remembered virtually all of the card draw in the game is loyal, so you lose out on a lot of that. And
Right.
you can't play some of the sweet other stuff that needs you to kneel your house card, like Ryan Jones' recent champ card, the Iron Bank, what is it? Dagnabbit, the Iron Bank, something or other, debts, and I don't know. I just keep calling it the Iron Bank. I'm
Yeah.
looking it up. The Iron
Anyway.
Bank will have its due. There we go. It's so close to a Lannister always pays his debts that I always get them a little twisted in my head.
So, overall with this one, I'd probably give it a C or a C minus, just because while we play more casual games, you really want to have a good deck. If you're playing an agenda, you really want to have a good competitive deck, and I just don't think that this is there.
Yeah, I think I'm with you at the lower end of that. I think I probably give this a C minus. It's a little bit neat, but I think you're giving up a lot of good
Yeah,
stuff.
just too much.
Yeah. All right, last card I think is you then.
Okay, so we have a plot card, Favors from the Crown. It is 5 gold, 4 initiative, and really my mind just completely shut off. One. Will, seriously, my mind just shut
Uh-oh,
off.
that's not good. What do you need?
The 5-4-1.
The 541.
The one.
The one?
Oh my
god. Neo from The Matrix? Keanu Reeves? He's the one.
I could punch you right now.
You probably could. Thank goodness I locked you up in the other room.
But he didn't lock me up in the bathroom, Sam.
Thankfully not.
Five gold, four initiative, and one
claim.
Claim. Oh my gosh. It's been a long day. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's already past 11 o'clock when we're recording right now.
Yeah, my brain is slowly starting to function less. Real sorry. Kingdom trait, reaction. After a card with bestow enters play, place one gold from the treasury on that card. Two gold instead if that card has three or more gold on it. I don't know.
I mean, I think it has the same problem that Unbridled Generosity has. I want a lot of cheap, worthwhile bestow cards that I can all play in the same turn while I have favors. And I just don't think there's enough of those yet.
Yeah. For such a piddly card, it sucks that it has five gold on it because that's the only thing that's drawing it for me.
Yeah, it's at least a reasonable gold. And it's actually an okay initiative. And reserve is just fine. Like, stats are a little bit above okay, I suppose.
Yeah, sorry guys. He mentioned reserve and I forgot to mention that. Your reserve is six.
Yeah. Yeah, it really throws me off that it's down in the corner all the time. I forget to mention it to people.
Yeah, and it's so small, and reserve is still one of those new additions that I just can't seem to remember all the time, and I don't know why. But I think overall for this card, it's just kind of blah for me.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely in that same boat. Kind of blah. It's another one that may get a whole lot better next cycle if Danny pushes the envelope on cheap bestow stuff. But for right now, this is actually maybe even just like a D plus. I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna go with D plus.
I'll stick it in the D category just for the fact alone that it's five gold.
Okay. Deal.
And you do get to keep quite a decent size of your hand, so that's really the only thing doing it for me.
Well, there we go. That's the pack. We made it all the way through. Aren't you proud of yourself?
We did.
Yeah.
Am I proud of myself? I don't know, I guess.
I don't know. I was just asking.
Proud of myself.
So, overall, in just a few sentences, if you were to kind of sum up how you feel about this chapter pack, not necessarily like a letter rating, but just parting thoughts on the pack as a whole, what do you think?
For what I normally play, especially with the deck that I've been playing for a little while, which is Greyjoy Banner of the Lion, I would say that this is a pretty decent pack to kind of switch some cards out of my deck and play around with that, and totally add the Stony Shore Raider into that because that's just too much fun to play. I'm going to have entirely too much fun with that. So beware, guys. So for that instance, I think I'm pretty happy with it. Some of the other cards that I'm seeing, like Dornish Spy, for instance, makes me want to see what Martell stuff is out there. Martell has never been a house that has won me over ever, though. So we'll see, but this seems kind of fun. So, yeah, I would say overall I'm fairly pleased with it.
I think my main thought with this pack is it just feels kind of underwhelming after the absurdly good chapter pack we got last month. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as some of the others out there, but for what I would utilize out of that pack, I am pleased with. Which is four cards out of that. Potentially five if I throw Barrack in a deck.
Yeah, there you go. Props and slops.
Sure. You go first.
Alrighty. What am I going to prop or slop first? You know what? I'm going to prop Lost Signal Brewing, a newer brewery downtown in Springfield that we went to for the first time last night. It had dinner and beers there. They also serve some good food. It was a good time, good atmosphere. I really liked it.
Yeah, that mac and cheese, it's gonna be a new thing that calls my name. The mac and cheese was delicious. It had the right consistency, the right kind of cheese, and it was a little bit spicy. So that was a new twist on mac and cheese for me, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I liked it. So, yeah, what other props or slops do you
Yeah,
have?
you gotta have something now. You can't just jump onto my Lost Signal Brewing one and steal it.
Oh, well, okay. Well, since I was watching the new premiere for The Good Place, I'm pretty excited for that to be back. So if any of you caught my mother forker in there,
Yeah.
that's what that's from. I think it's such I hate to call it cute, but it's kind of a cute little show. but it's a funny, feel-good show that has a silly writing to it. I don't know, I like it. So if any of you haven't seen it, I'd recommend watching it.
Yeah, I really, really dug that show. I got a huge kick out of it personally. So take that however you will. Really reminded me of Douglas Adams sort of style, so I liked that. What else do I have? Anything else at this point? Props to our remaining Patreon subscribers. I really need to be bringing Patreon up a little bit more often. I definitely understand some folks over the last year have dropped out for a number of reasons. Some just had their own personal financial situations change. Some didn't like our lack of content for a while and various things, so totally understand. Just want to give a huge shout out and props to the folks that are still supporting currently or have jumped in recently. I think I did see we had someone new join, so I will be kind of double checking things and reading names for next week. But
Awesome.
for right now, I want to make sure I give everyone a direct props, but for right now, I also wanted to say if you are a listener or a supporter, current or past, or possible future, be thinking about what would be interesting to you as a Patreon reward that would be doable. I want to kind of chit chat and explore some of those options, and maybe do a little better job with those than have been in the past. So let me know. And I think that's all I've got.
Yeah, I can't think of any more props that are just jumping in my brain to say, ooh, yeah. So
Jumping in my
don't make
brain.
fun of me.
I wasn't making fun of you because making fun of you, my wife would definitely put me, the husband, in the danger zone.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Danger zone!
That definitely closes this chapter of the White Book.